Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Wednesday, September 30th, 2020, last day of September 2020, 12 minutes past the hour, and we have got a gentleman who we're going to get to right away because we've only got 20 minutes with him this morning, and this was unplanned, which says how good a friend he has become to me in this program. But after last night, which nobody knew would be what it was, we had to speak with him this morning. 60 years of presidential debates on television, and last night, if you look at any news channel, you look at any broadcast after the debate was over, everybody was calling it the worst debate in presidential history. People were saying there should not be any more presidential debates. Wolf Blitzer was the first voice you heard on CNN saying you might have watched the last presidential debate. It was interesting, and you can check out others' tweets, but we are going to go immediately to the man who we want to get the opinion from. He has been covering the news for more than a half century, legendary ABC News correspondent, Sam Donaldson. Sam, are you okay this morning?
Well, I'm kind of being recovering from the hatred that I felt last night. I mean, I watched the debate, and then I watched people who do what I used to do comment on it, who are trying desperately to do two things: find the words to describe a spectacle of hate, indecency, incivility brought to that stage by the man who currently holds the post of President of the United States. And it was tough, but I'm glad I wasn't there because I think I would have crossed the line. Because how could you watch, how could you compare that man? I'm 86. And therefore I lived under Presidents Roosevelt, Truman, Eisenhower, John Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, the great civil rights president before his pursuit of the communists in Vietnam brought him low. And how about Ronald Reagan? How about either of the two Bushes or Barack Obama? No matter who you liked or which side you took, this man cannot be compared to those. This would sully the reputation of the office of President of the United States by trying to compare him. I'm recovering. Not an alcoholic, thank goodness, but a recovering enraged citizen.
Sam, the question I think that I had this morning more than any other, we have seen Donald, this is not like it was his first debate. We saw a lot of primary debates with Republicans in 2015 and 16. He did three debates with Hillary Clinton presidential in 2016. It was not this. What happened last night?
Well, we saw the man, we've known the man, his admirers. I'm not completely blind, they just happen to like that. And I'm still puzzling over how they could, but each individual makes up his or her own mind about these things. So it was no surprise that he would come, not to debate calmly, not to make some points, try to stay within the facts rather than the fiction that he demises and he loves to dispense. We knew he was not going to do that. But every time one looks at Donald J. Trump's action or words, since he's been president, and before, those of us who've known him for a long time, we're not surprised because he's that way. That's who he is. He's not going to change. And if he remains president of the United States, the thing that will change is this country. And you say, great, I love that. I want what he brings to us. Throw him out and don't let him back. Who are they anyway? And, well, look at these bombs who won't work, and I don't care whether they live or die, and I'm being exaggeration now, I understand that. They like that. So I think what's needed now is people like me to calm myself and try to be civil too, and do what little I can, which is little enough, toward the November vote. There must be a massive repudiation of this person to have any control over the lives of not just Americans, but because the United States has the potential to resume leadership in the world, which we have lost to a large degree. And that's important. There is the potential to have a renaissance of sort, to try to bring the country together. And that's not going to be easy, and that's not going to be possible overnight, no matter what happens. But there must be a repudiation of Donald J. Trump and everything he stands for.
Sam, just one more reference back to 2016. We had excess Hollywood tapes 48 hours before, I believe, the second debate. We had Bill Clinton's mistresses in the auditorium in 2016. I don't remember after any of those three. Chris Wallace was the moderator of the third debate in 2016 between Hillary and Trump. I don't remember people coming on afterward and saying, debates are over, this is awful, this is terrible. What was different last night with President Trump than the Hillary debates?
Well, the Hillary debates, if you watch them, you saw an example of what we saw on the 10 to the X power last night. Remember the second debate, and I've said this, I think, to you before, because for some time I've thought it, when it was her turn to speak, he would loom behind her. He would walk back and forth behind her. I thought she should have just turned around and said, Donald, it's my turn to speak. Sit down. And if he didn't do it, slap his face. Now you say, that's ridiculous. Yeah, that's ridiculous, but I'd love to have seen it. And I think people would have said, well, maybe she has it. Maybe she can take on Vladimir Putin. Maybe she'll stand up to him. Donald Trump hasn't. He won't. We have some glimmer now, although we don't have some of the facts necessary to see where he borrowed money when he couldn't borrow it in the United States. Banks would not lend him a penny since the 1991 meltdown that he had trying to pay his debts, which he couldn't do then. And now we see how much he owes now. To whom? And what's the trade-off? Now, you ask, in a sense, well, we knew what Mr. Trump was like, didn't we, because of this, that, the Access Hollywood, all of that stuff. Yes, we did. And some of us repudiated him in our way then. But I come back to something you and I have talked at before, and I'm not going to call names, but I just am troubled by how so many Americans think he's wonderful. And why? I think there are various reasons. I know that many thought that he was a billionaire and that he was a businessman who'd done it so well that they wanted a job and he could provide them. And he promised the steel workers, the people in the coal industry, you'll have jobs forever, your sons and all of that. And they believed him. And these are good people. They were misled. A good con man can mislead people who don't know him and who don't, or her, who don't understand what they stand for. But then there's some people, clearly, who want those Mexicans out. Who don't, if their children have come to the border seeking help and seeking survival from their own tyranny and their own poverty, who don't care that their children were locked up and separated from them, as long as they're out. Well, I don't understand those people, but they exist. And there's still people, unfortunately, who are fighting the Civil War. And remember what they've been told about the good old days when some other people in this country knew their place. And why aren't they there then? And look what happened last night. Once again, he says to Biden, hey, you want me to denounce some of the truth? The name one. And Biden says the Proud Boys. And Trump says, well, stand down and stand by. There's a great column in the New York Times this morning by Tom Friedman, who says, in effect, we have to take this seriously, the danger to our country, the danger to our democracy, from these kinds of groups led by this man, encouraged by this man. The dog whistle is not just a dog whistle, it's just a cannon roar. And the worst part, of course, was at the end. And once again, his new refrain is, either I remain president, or, like Samson, I'm going to pull down the temple here. I don't care about the country. I'm going to encourage my followers who will do it to stop these people. people who say they won the election. I'm going to invalidate it. And with my new person on the Supreme Court, I'm looking to them, if necessary, to help me out. That is so dangerous.
Sam, in the remaining 10 minutes we have, to be fair here, I want to talk about the two other people who are sharing the headlines this morning, and I'm going to start with Chris Wallace here. Now, not to denounce Chris Wallace or think that we could have done a better job than he did last night, because it was a mess, but I've never seen a debate moderator look more uncomfortable. What could he have done? Was there anything? What happened?
No, nothing. Well, he could have become enraged, he could have lost it himself, he could have done what? Let's stop this debate, let's stop this mudsling and all of that. That was not his role. He tried. But who could have stood against this hurricane? He's a friend of mine. He's someone I've admired for a long time, even though we were competitors in the Reagan days when he was the NBC correspondent at the White House and I was ABC correspondent. I know his mettle, though. He worked with us on Primetime Live, then at ABC, for the decade of the 90s, before going to Fox. And so I messaged him last night and said, your next assignment, there's a huge Force 4 hurricane about to hit the Florida coast, and you must go down there, stand on the beach, and calm the winds, saying, nice, nice winds. What could he have done? Nothing. Who could have reined in? But someone actually remembering my name, I guess, sent me an email last night. I wish you had been the moderator. Thank goodness I wasn't, because, again, I would have lost it. I would simply have said and tried to do things to stop that madman, to make it a real debate, to make the fact that his competitor, Joe Biden, had a right to speak without being overrun and trying to be dominated and slurred, his sons. I couldn't have done it. I think under the circumstances he was presented, Chris did a pretty good job. He tried. He called out the president. Sir, let him speak. I mean, you've interrupted more than he has when Trump tried to say, well, Biden does the same thing. Biden, like me, I think, used some language from time to time. Clown, and then he said, and shut up. That was down in the muck. It was very hard not to say, I've got to play that game too. For the most part, Biden didn't. And I think from that standpoint, if you're looking at people in the middle, because the game was to the middle, Trump has his supporters, Biden has his supporters, and we're locked in on both sides. There were a few Americans, clearly, according to the polls, who hadn't made up their mind but thought they were going to vote, and they wanted to see. Well, they saw Biden show up, try to keep his cool for the most part, try to make a debate for the most part, and be standing, not senile, not full of drugs, not full of the other lies that Trump loves to use as insults. He did it to Marco Rubio, remember, the debates, and other contestants in 2016. This man is someone you know, is someone who is not going to change whatever twisted him into the kind of human being he is. It's there.
I'm going to try to cram three quick questions in here to 5 minutes, and it's just one about more about Chris Wallace that I heard this morning. Because both campaigns had agreed to this format and to be quiet during these two-minute periods, was there a point, maybe after the third or fourth question, that Trump or Biden had interrupted some? Could he have said to the sound man, shut his mic off? Could he have, or would that have been...
He didn't have the power to do that. He didn't have any control over the sound or the picture. And he certainly didn't have any control over Donald J. Trump, although he made a mistake. I do not know that he could have done anything that he didn't, that he tried. And toward the end, of course, he asked pointed questions of both, but of Trump, got the dog whistle again about good people on both sides and stand down and stand by, and refusal to accede to the simple Democratic statement, yes, I will abide by the result of the election. Trump has no intention of trying to do that, but we will force him to. I'll tell you, we'll force him to. most of the law enforcement agencies of this country. There'll be some sheriffs some places, and some places who won't. Our courts, they're still functioning. And judge after judge turns down the idea of people not being able to vote and people having suppression of their votes. And finally, the United States military will not obey an order if Donald J. Trump loses this election to help keep him in power. Not do it. I have utmost faith in our armed forces and the people who lead them.
Very quickly here, to go to Joe Biden for just a second. You mentioned it there a second ago, Sam, the rhetoric that was used last night on television all day yesterday, radio, media, was Joe Biden has to keep his cool. That was the narrative. You talked about it there. He did tell President Trump to shut up at one point. He called him a clown twice. After the second time he called him a clown, he kind of stepped it back for a moment and said person. But a first in 60 years of presidential debates, to my knowledge, I don't think anybody has ever said to a sitting president, you are a racist during a presidential debate. Did any of that go too far?
Well, I think he is a racist. It's a word. It's not a. If it fits, it's certainly not a slur. It's a condemnation. You may disagree. He's not a racist. For instance, how did he say he would appeal? Well, to blacks and whites. Well, he would do away with the sensitivity training that tries to. When I say train, tries to point out to people why others should be considered, other views should be considered, and particularly in law enforcement, that your job is to protect us all, and your job is to apprehend people who are potential criminals in the court system and all of that, but your job is not to demean them, your job is not to kill them. In a sense, and not just in a sense. And so he does away with the sensitivity training. And what is his excuse? Because he says it's a racist training to try to tell whites how to treat people of other colors and try to tell people of colors how to respond and how to not themselves then become people whose protests turn into violence. All of that sensitivity training. And he does away with it. Why? Because ultimately, he thinks whites should rule the country. White Christians.
Final question here, Sam. A two-part question here. Was it the worst debate in 60-year history of debates? And what's the story?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've seen them all. Although the Kennedy... No, I'm sorry. The Nixon-Kennedy debates I've watched. Not yet in the news business, which is on the verge of it. And most debates, with a few exceptions, have impacted the trajectory of the coming election. Only one, in my view, was decisive on the coming election in 1984, when Ronald Reagan saved himself after a first debate with Walter Mondale, when he fell apart at the end and began to... He didn't know what he was saying, and the country went, because they wanted to re-elect Reagan, but they couldn't re-elect a man if he was so old and feeble that his mind had gone. So in the second debate, you remember the famous line that Reagan had practiced and delivered beautifully when asked whether he thought he was able to be president for another 4 years because of age and all of that, and said yes, he thought he was, and he didn't think his age was a problem, and he said, I pledge that I will not make my opponent's relative youth and inexperience an issue in this campaign. And everyone laughed. Walter Mondale laughed. And the old hound dog picked up a little glass of water and with a satisfied smile took a sip. When I was watching, I was there, and I thought to myself, nope, game, set, match. And sure enough, he was reelected. I got to run.
Thank you, Sam.
I thank you for the... Again, I've tried to control myself in my worst impulses, but I'm sure I failed again. I think this is so important, and I think repudiating whatever you want to call him, and keep it civil, I'll try to, Donald J. Trump, and removing him from a position of cruelty and meanness and ignorance, which hurts us all, is absolutely essential. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sam.
Legendary ABC News correspondent Sam Donaldson, and there you have it. Now, that's what everybody else had to say about last night. Now, Glenn Coble and I will be on today from 10 a.m. until 12 p.m. talking about this, I'm sure. It's a presidential debate, and you have to talk about it the next day. Does anybody have any opinions on what happened last night? Feel free to weigh in here. We've got about 28 minutes left in this program. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz here and we can talk about the first presidential debate that happened last night, because your opinions are as important as anybody else who calls into this show, guest or host included. To be honest with you, I watched the whole thing from beginning to end last night, and I don't know what that was. I have seen a lot of presidential debates, and it's very rare that you come up on something that you would call unprecedented. I don't know what that was last night. I thought when it started, it was just because President Trump and Biden were ready to go. They had not met each other on stage. I thought that's what it was. It never stopped for 90 minutes. I don't know. And I'm looking at Chris Wallace, who I think is a very good journalist, a very fair journalist, and who he's moderated these debates before. I've never seen anybody look so uncomfortable doing that job. But boy, you would be uncomfortable with that many people watching you and that kind of mess going on and trying to keep control of it, which clearly you could not, and I don't think you could shut off the microphones. I really don't know. You know, with the opinions this morning have been interesting. Eleanor Clift has talked this morning about how she certainly thinks there should be more presidential debates, and she doesn't understand the repudiation of that. And, of course, you just heard what Sam Donaldson had to say. But I don't know exactly what went down. I mean, they had debate prep. And, you know, what I still can't figure out, we have seen Joe Biden debate before. He has been in Democratic primaries. He was, as vice president, he debated Sarah Palin. He debated Paul Ryan in those vice presidential debates. President Trump has debated before. He debated Hillary Clinton three times in 2016. He debated in the Republican primaries of 2015 and 2016. I don't understand what went on. What I think happened last night, this is an editorial viewpoint on this whole thing. What I really think happened last night was you have an election that is going to be super close, and you have a president who does not want to lose his a second term, of course. I don't think any president wants to lose a bid for re-election. And you have a former vice president who wants to win for his party and wants to be president. That's something few people get to do. Only 45 in our history have gotten to do it in this country. And I think the stakes are so high. We're in the middle of this pandemic. We are, the Supreme Court is hinging on all of this. This is, or at least going on while all this is going on. You have just the Senate is up for grabs in this upcoming election. There is just so much going on right now that, I don't know, maybe that's what's causing it. I really don't know. All I can say is last night was clearly very different. And I don't know, you know, we're going to move on to a town hall. That'll be the next form of debate that these two have. And then the third one will be another debate like we had last night. But I really don't know if, will they be substantive? Will they do anything? I don't know. Did they change anybody's mind Give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. I'd really love to hear a listener's opinion on this. Did you watch it and turn it off? A lot of people said they did that. Did you watch it and turn it off? Was it just too much? I'll tell you, give me a buzz. I would really love to hear somebody's opinion on this. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Because we appreciate the local opinions. You know, we had the national opinions now. We appreciate the local opinions as well. 740-383-9944. I was just shocked through social media last night what was going on. Let's take the phone call here. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, it's Brenda. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What a show last night.
It was something. It was something.
Yeah, something else. I've never been a Trump fan. However, I have always tried to respect the man because he is our president. It was very sad to see our president act like that. I don't think I've ever seen a president in the past act in a way that embarrassed me as an American citizen. He kept bringing up Joe Biden's son and the $3 million. As a citizen, I could care less about Joe Biden's son. I'm worried about my taxes, my fellow Americans' health care, unemployment, employment, what he's going to do to make America great again. It was very, very sad. On the other side of the coin, I didn't hear much out of Biden either that gave me any impression that he had a plan. The questions were asked, you know, well, what would you do? Well, like you said, he's not in office, so how could he have confronted some of these issues, like Portland? Why didn't you step out and say anything? Well, he's not in office. It's not his place to say anything. But I don't think he had much in place as well. His advisors, people that do have the answer that can gives him a lot of support, but I wasn't impressed with either, but I will vote for the lesser of two evils.
You know what's interesting? As I was watching it last night, what was shocking to me is I had Facebook up, and I remember during the Hillary-Trump debates, I knew who was for Hillary, and I knew who was for Trump, because it's all Facebook's very political during elections. And people were, oh, okay, that was a good shot by Trump, that was a good shot by Hillary. Last night, people who I knew were definitely for Trump and definitely for Biden were all saying the same thing. And people who I don't know who they're going to vote for were all saying the same thing. I'm shutting this off. This is a mess. I can't listen to this. This is a circus. Worst debate in the 60-year history of presidential debates. Trump has debated before. Biden has debated before on the presidential level. What do you think happened last night?
I'm speechless. I don't know. Trump is a bully. He would not let Biden get his 2 minutes of time in without interrupting. And I think Biden bought right into that and did the same thing back, and it just, and then the whole thing frustrated me. It gave me anxiety. I wanted to turn it off, but as a citizen and as someone who is responsible to vote, again, I'm not a Trump fan, but if he could bring something to the table that supported my vote and gave me a reason to vote for him, I was there to listen for it. I don't vote, oh, he's a Democrat, and I'm going to go in there and vote down the line Democrat. That's not where my vote lies. It lies in the person and what they tell me that they can, they're able, and they're willing to do.
It,
Well, it's interesting because I'm looking at some comments even here this morning, and a lot of people are blaming the moderator. I don't know what Chris Wallace could have done.
I don't either.
It was an awful position to be in, I think, if you were him. And aside from shutting off their mics, which some people were saying that last night, well, I don't think you can do that, as Sam Donaldson said. And I think, honestly, if he had done it, if he had even called for it, there are two things that would have happened. Number one, they wouldn't have shut off the mics because somebody at the network would have said, don't do that. And then that would have looked ridiculous. And then number two would have been whoever he said to shut off the mic to, they would have said he has a bias toward that person.
Right. And to me, it looked like he did have a bias toward Biden anyways. I believe that, are they going to change up moderators?
Yeah, there'll be, well, the next town hall, there'll be a moderator, but it's the town hall where citizens get to ask questions, so that'll be a little different. But the third one will be just like this, and I'm not sure, I'm sure it's been posted, but I'm not sure who the third debate moderator is, but boy, I don't know what they're going to learn from Chris Wallace. I don't know what you do.
I think that they should get somebody that's a little pro-Trump in there and see how that works for him, because it was very obvious that Wallace was more biased towards Biden. And you know, asking him, Mr. President, you've got to give this man 2 minutes. How many times must you say that? I mean, as a parent, I've had to say that to my kids. You have to do this. This is the rule. And not to have my child abide, I'm able as a parent to do something. This man's in no position to, I mean, what tools did he have? So I'm interested to see the third person. I'm more interested to see Pence and Kamala Harris.
Well,
those two seem to be able to speak without being childish about it.
Well, this is and here it is. October 7th is the vice presidential debate. Now, the moderator will be Susan Page, who is the Washington bureau chief for USA Today. The second presidential debate, which will be the town hall, will be Thursday, October the 15th. That'll be Steve Scully, senior executive producer and political editor at C-SPAN. And then the third debate, which will kind of be like last night, will take place on Thursday, October 22nd. And the moderator of that will be Kristen Walker, co-anchor of Weekend Today and White House correspondent for NBC News.
I'll tell you what, if I were Joe Biden last night and he kept bringing up my kid like that, as a vicious woman parent, I would have brought up the fact that he was cheating on his wife. People have said he's cheated on his wife, and was a porn star. I would have thrown that in his face. I think it would have been an extremely ugly moment for Biden. But as a parent, and just, I don't think I could have been Joe Biden and stood there and eaten his words the way he did. So he's very commendable. He took that pretty well under pressure.
I wanted to ask you this.
I would have had an anxiety attack.
Well, I want to ask you this because you say you're not the biggest Trump supporter, but in 60 years, it's been 60 years now, the first televised presidential debate happened in 1960, Nixon and Kennedy. So it's very rare after 60 years of these and having three a year that we see something new. I don't think in 60 years ever, no matter what you feel about the people, that we have had somebody call a sitting president a flat-out racist during the debate. Is that...
No, we're telling you, shut up.
Well, my question about it was, I mean, some people clearly feel that he is, and some people clearly feel that he is not, but is it okay to do that if you're running against him during a debate? Is it okay to say that?
I think the gloves were off. I mean... I was having anxiety attacks listening to him badger and bully and the entire time. I wanted to turn it off, but there's only so much person can take. And is it okay to spend your 2 minutes of time where you're supposed to be talking about your goals as a president, to spend your time, oh, your son took $3 million, your son's a drug addict. Oh, what is that all about? I don't care about Biden's kids. If I cared about that, I would look it up on Wikipedia or CNN or look at, you know, Google it. I don't care about that. I care what he can do and what his plans are with his team for this country. And I certainly, you know, would like to call foul on the racist. But, you know, if I was calling foul, it would have been the entire night of, you know, this is wrong, stop, please stop.
But, you know, in conclusion, though, I will tell you this, because I know this now from watching the three debates that he had with Hillary, because, you know, yeah, the shots at Biden's son, you know, we could look at those and say, wow, that's different. But, you know, this is the man who brought Bill Clinton's mistresses to a debate with Hillary Clinton. It's not like it hasn't been done before, personal lives of these people. He tends to do that. I think he went after Jeb Bush's wife during one of the debates and went after his brother, who was a president. I guess that's fair game. We were talking about what size of people's hands at one point back in 15 and 16. So it's not like we haven't veered off policy before, but I guess what was different about last night was I think the people who like Trump, that's what they wanted to see. They wanted him to... The independent voters, I don't know where they are this morning. I think if you like Biden, you still like Biden. If you like Trump, you think he was a take-charge guy last night and he did everything. He's not leaving that office. He's got a Supreme Court. He's doing all this. But the independent voters, I don't know what you thought last night. I don't know. Do you think they were impressed either way?
I think I heard someone say the Trump voters are going to vote for him no matter what. It's already set in stone. They're not changing their minds. It's going to be the people that haven't made up their minds that are going to decide during these debates. My cousin is a diehard Trump fan, and she wrote on my Facebook last night, or this morning, she's like, if Biden would have let him speak and not keep cutting him off. And I thought, what debate were you watching? So they're going to see things through their Trump-colored glasses no matter what happens. So it's going to be an interesting ride.
And we've got another month to go. So we're off and running. Thank you for calling. I appreciate your analysis.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All right. And again, all opinions are welcome here this morning. 740-383-9944. We still got 10 minutes left in this hour. 740-383-9944. We've heard from Sam Donaldson. We've heard from Eleanor Cliff this morning. We want to hear from you. We heard from a caller there. Remember, if the phone line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on calling back in. We do want to hear from you. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What was your opinion of that 90-minute program last night that was on your television, was on your smartphone, was on your listening device? Did it change anybody's mind? That's what I want to know. I can't imagine... You know, yesterday I was talking to somebody who was going to watch the debate, and they said something very interesting to me before obviously the debate started. It was yesterday afternoon. They said, I'm with this candidate. I'm just excited to watch the debate tonight. And I think there were a lot of that. There was a lot of that. I think people have already made up their mind. So I don't know what an independent voter thought of that last night, because it's clear every news correspondent and almost everybody writing for a newspaper this morning is talking about how this was not a good program last night. In 60 years...
of presidential debates that we might have jumped the shark last night with those things. I mean, we're going to have more debates, and I think they are useful, but something has got to be tweaked, because I don't think we want to do that again. I don't think we want to do what happened last night again, because I don't know if it helped anybody. Did anybody learn anything last night? I'm curious. There's a question. Did anybody learn anything? Did anybody get anything out of that debate last night? Just your opinion. And you don't have to give your name. You don't have to give your name if you call in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We've still got about 8 minutes left in the program today. Certainly would love to hear from you, because all opinions are valid. And I know we have Biden supporters out there. I know we have a lot of President Trump supporters. And I wonder what people are feeling today. I was just so amazed watching Facebook last night and knowing who supports President Trump and who supports Joe Biden. And almost everybody unanimously had the same reaction, that this is a mess. This is a mess. And the people who were tuning it out, that's also a little shocking to me. I was interested that people just couldn't take it. They could not take it anymore. That whatever was going on there that caused whatever happened to happen, people could not take it. And it drove people away from their television sets or listening devices or smart televisions or whatever last night. It did drive people away. I think it drove people nuts in a sense. And I don't know. You know, will people watch the vice presidential debate next week? Will people watch the presidential debate the next time it happens in 2 weeks? Will people watch the last presidential debate? Do these debates mean anything anymore? That's also a question. As Sam Donaldson pointed out, certainly the 1960 Kennedy-Nixon debate meant something, because what it did was it swayed it toward Kennedy, is what it did. Most people who watched it on television said Kennedy won, and most people watched it on radio thought Nixon won. And as Sam Donaldson said, the 1984 Mondale-Reagan debates, he knew, he was in the room when Reagan did the line about, "I will not let my opponent's youth and inexperience be a factor in this election. I will not let age be a factor of this election." Poof. Mondale was blown away at that point, and Reagan had the election. Are those moments happening anymore? Do they happen? Is it a thing? I really don't know. I really don't know. I think sometimes we just sit and watch and sort it all out when it's over. And as I say, Glenn Coble will be in here from 10 a.m. this morning till 12 noon. And then, by the way, The Progressive Life with Glenn Coble will be on today. And I know that will be all political, because he's got Dr. Ron Feinman on today. So I'm sure that will be debate recap from 12:10 to 1 p.m. And then we also have offbeat news and trivia with Nate Redmond today. I believe a special program from 4 to 5. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday sermon tonight from 6 till 7 p.m. So it's a full day of programming here on WWGH Radio. But we're trying to inform and hopefully be a little educational here this morning by talking about what happened last night. It certainly is a civics lesson in a lot of ways. But if you've been thinking about calling in, call in. As I say, you don't have to give your name, but it's always good to be on the record here. We'd love to hear what you have to say, because it's very important. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I don't want to leave it up to all of us who are on the air or all the people who call in to dictate what the opinions are. I want to know what your opinions are, because I know most everybody watched it last night. That's also the interesting thing. You know, debates in past years, prior to 2016, people watched them, but they didn't watch them like they watch them now. Starting in 2016, and certainly last night, and I imagine for the rest of this season, they will be watched very, very heavily without question. And here comes a call, which I appreciate. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Shaw.
Hey, Chip. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Did you watch the debate last night?
Yes.
What'd you think?
Well, not good.
Not good, huh?
No.
So, did you end up turning it off, or did you stick with it all the way through?
Well, except let me watch that.
Watch the whole thing?
Yeah.
My goodness. Was it, what upset you about it, Chip?
He told President Trump to shut up.
That he told President Trump to shut up?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an interesting moment last night, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know that we would have manners like that here locally, would we, Chip? We act better than that, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully we do. Well, Chip, it's always good to hear from you. I'm so glad that you called in.
Yeah.
You take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Now, there you go. There's an honest opinion. Give us a buzz here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What's your opinion? 2 minutes left to go in the program today, and we would love to hear from you, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What did you make of the debate last night? And, you know, the coverage is also interesting to me, that everybody covers it. Everybody, it's almost like, we get very few moments like that in television anymore, where the room seems to stop, where the world seems to stop for something. I don't know what the ratings were on that last night. They'll be coming out today. I'm sure they were rather large for the first debate. But overall, there were certainly some talking point moments in that debate for a lot of reasons. And I tell you, I never remember a presidential debate ever. And I think I have either watched them live or seen them all through C-SPAN, because they've all been taped since 1960. So 60 years of presidential debates. I've never seen one where, after it was over, and if you look in the papers this morning, I mean, yes, there are stories about Trump and Biden, but the truth of the matter is, the big story this morning is people calling it the worst presidential debate, worst debate in the history of debates, 60 years. And a lot of things figured into that. And I tell you what, it's going to be a whole morning of analyzation, because, as I said today on A Progressive Life from 12 to 1, Dr. Feinman's the guest, and I'm sure that's where that's going to go. And you know what? We have to talk about it during the show with Glenn here, so we'll get Glenn's opinions as well from 10 to 12. Glenn shakes his head no, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen, because there are a lot of things to dissect from this debate, no matter how you feel about either candidate, that are particularly interesting. And I didn't think we would have this discussion today. I thought it'd be a debate, and we'd do it, and there'd be a few things, and we'd go on. Last night was a unique moment in American democracy, to be sure. I don't know if there'll ever be another moment like that again. Hopefully by the third debate, they have it under control. Stay tuned. We'll be back in 10 minutes.
The place is WWGH 107.1 FM.
We're in tune with WWGH. And for you today, including the person we've been talking about.